you ain't getting this blessing because you messed that up. See, that's how we love a lot of times. We like to say it's a conditional thing with us. As long as you're doing what I think you should be doing or what I want you to do, I'm going to love you and be nice to you. But the moment you step out and you start doing something that upsets my apple cart, I ain't going to like you. You ever patrolled the Walmart parking lot and you're praying to God, ain't nobody up in there you don't want to see? I told you he's going to keep it real in here. Why am I bringing it up? Because people do that. I do that. I got to pick my days with certain stuff. I'm like, ooh, God, I don't need that toilet paper. Jeremy's just going to have to figure it out. Today is not the day to be buying that toilet paper. Sally Sue's up in there. You know I don't like her. The funny thing is when you get in there before Sally Sue and there she is and you're stuck. God's got a sense of humor. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Look here, what I've learned in life is that it doesn't matter how bad you don't like somebody. It doesn't matter how bad somebody doesn't like you. At the end of the day, you got to love Jesus how Jesus loved you. And you know what? Sometimes that's going to involve you letting people off the hook that you think messed you up. That's going to involve sometimes you forgiving somebody when you feel like they don't deserve your forgiveness. God's worked with me a lot on forgiveness. I used to feel like I was losing every time I would have to forgive somebody. Because I would feel like, now if I forgive them, God, you're letting them get one over on me. You know they said such and such and such and such. That wasn't right, God. So I can act like this because see what they did wasn't right. No. You just love me how I've loved you. Don't worry about them. I said don't worry about them. Don't worry about that person that's hurt you really bad. Why? Because God has taken care of it. You got to wake up and you got to know that God is perfecting that which concerns you on a daily basis. He's helping you grow. He's helping that person. He's loving on that person. He's bringing them to a place. He's bringing them to a place. Guess what? He's bringing you to a place. He's bringing you to a place. Go to John chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Look here. Sometimes I got this love thing down, and sometimes I don't. On the days that I don't, what do? Sharon, I say, God, help me to remain in your love. God, I may not have it for this person or this situation, but God, I'm asking you to help me to stay in what you have. See, it's not about what we have. It's not about our means. It's about what God has. You don't think God has enough grace to shed over a situation and perfect it so much where when he gets done with it, you can't even recognize that it was a sloppy, messed up mess? He does. God specializes in messes. He has to because we are constantly little, you can't ever mess something up right after you clean it, and you're thinking, I just cleaned this whole house, spent 5 hours to do it, and in 30 minutes you have messed up this entire house, little Johnny. How did you do that? 5 hours. You messed it up in 15 minutes. See? Lots of this stuff. See, God is working on that thing right now. He's perfecting it. He's working it out. And in the meantime, he needs us to be working some things out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. I never realized that working it out was literally working it out. I don't like to work out. I don't like to be uncomfortable. I don't like to have something in me that I know God don't like, and here I am walking in disobedience. I don't like those things. When I see them in my life, it makes me miserable. Because I'm like, God, I just want to please you. My flesh is wanting to act up. God, help me. God, I give you my life. God, I give it to you. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That your joy may be complete. There's so many things in this life that tries to get us to where our joy is taken from us. To where our joy is taken from us. Look here. If you lose your life, there's going to be a joy that becomes complete. Not a joy based off of everything that's going right in your life, but a joy based off of the fact that you serve a God that is going to turn things around and he's going to perfect them and he's going to get them to where they need to be. A lot of times we get so discouraged by how the situation looks, by what we can see. I'm going to tell you right now, don't be trusting what you see. Case in point, in November, we decided we were going to take family portraits. We are the most unphotogenic, dysfunctional family to try to get in captured in a moment. Besides Mama Kay's family. And, man, the kids were hanging off of the trees. They were beating each other. I was threatening them, and I was bribing them all at the same time. I thought, all I want is one picture. What is wrong with you boys? And then I went away feeling like I just wasted this much money on something that's going to be horrible. Well, a miracle happened that day. We looked decent. What happens when we take good pictures? We want to put them on Facebook and show everybody how great our life is. I call it Facebook. Because really, that picture did not illustrate really what was even going on in that moment. And yet, we sit back and we'll get out our phone and we'll be like, my life is terrible. It's awful. Look at these people. They're happy. Everything is going right. And look at my life. It's awful. And you'll get yourself discouraged over something. It ain't even how it looks. It never is. It ain't never is. And let me tell you something. How your problem looks is not even how it looks. Stop looking at it. Amen. Stop looking at it. Amen. It ain't even what it appears to be, Mama Kay. If we could see some things that were going on in the spirit behind the problem, we'd be like, you know, I'm going to go to McDonald's and have a double McDougal because God's got this. He don't need my worries. I'm going to eat those calories. God's on the scene. No, but we're like, oh, my problem's really looking bad. Yeah, it is, because you're looking at it. Stop looking at that thing. Stop giving it glory in your life. You're giving the devil glory when you're doing that. Give God glory. You got something that's stuck in your craw that's bugging you? You got a situation, a family problem, a financial problem. You in need of a healing problem. Look here. Say, God, I thank you that you're perfecting the things that are concerning this heart. God, I thank you, Lord, that as I lift those things up to you, God, you're helping me right now. Now, God, what can I do to be a blessing to you today? What can I do? Because I refuse to waste this day stuck in the middle of my problem, which you've already told me you have it under control. I'm asking you to lay down your life in here. It's not easy. It's not easy when you're faced with the biggest struggle you've ever been faced with. But look here, just because it ain't easy don't mean it ain't right. Just because something ain't easy doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. God says, lay down your cross. Come on now. Stop it. Stop glorifying that issue. I've got it. I've got that problem. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command, and I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Look here, we know God's business. God's business is reaching out and saving people for the kingdom of heaven. If we were just His servants, we wouldn't know what the heck He wanted us to do. We know what He wants us to do, and sometimes we are having issues doing it. It's like Paul said, why are the things that I know I want to do, I set my mind out to do them, and I don't do them? I can't carry them out. There's a hindrance there. You got to put yourself on the back burner. Paul says, I buffet myself. He didn't go to the buffet, Sister Sharon. He said, I make my flesh come in line with the Word of God. I make myself do it. Here's a very good example. A few days ago, I was on the fake book again. See, that fake book going to get you in trouble if you ain't careful. I pulled out that phone. Oh, fuck. Oh, no, she did not. No. Then I'm like, write out a big, long thing. God's going, delete that. And I'll delete it. No, God, I want to say that. You are not going to steal my thunder, Holy Spirit. I had an epiphany. God's saying, Kelly, delete that. That is not of me. Look here. I wrote that message out about four times. I did not hit the send button. And Rita, when I did not put the send button, you know what I felt? The Holy Spirit coming up into that situation. Look here. The devil's always trying to get you to open your mouth. Why? So God can't open His. The devil's constantly trying to get your little feet to go somewhere you ain't supposed to go. Why? Because, see, the devil don't want God walking up into your problem and fixing it. Lay down your opinion. Everybody's like, I got an opinion. If y'all ain't all Democratic, I don't like you. If y'all ain't all Republican, I don't like you. People unfriending people, people being ugly to people, just over President Trump. Now, come on. Come on now. That ain't no way to be. We got to get over what we think our opinion is so important. It's not. What God says about it is the most important thing. You know, the old Kelly was terrible. There's people, Mama Brenda, I would have looked over years ago. They're my favorite people now. Why? Because, see, God's changed my heart. See, look here. We think that we know what somebody's going through and we want to judge. Look here. God ain't put us in the place of a judge. God's put us in a place where we get an awesome privilege is to love His kids. Love His kids. Love on people. Love on them. When you feel like they don't deserve it, when you feel like they're beyond help, when you feel like they'll never get any better, when you feel like the situation is too far gone, keep your peace. Keep your peace. Be still. Be still and know that He's God. See, a lot of us, we have an issue being still. We don't like to be still because we think like if we are still, Miss Deborah, we're not doing anything about the problem. Look here, when you're being still, you're doing a lot about the problem most times because you're not getting in the way of what God's wanting to happen. When you can just be still and say, God, I'm going to shut my big fat mouth. I'm going to get this little finger to stop typing them mean old things. I'm going to control it. God's working and He's moving. God wants your life. He wants it. He says, I have made known to you, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. See, we can do all this stuff, and if we are not doing it for the right reasons, it's just stuff. God's saying, go bear fruit that'll last. Go bear fruit that'll last. How do we do that? We put our stuff aside because we know that God has it. And we say, God, you tell me what to do. God, you tell me where to go. God, you give me the words to say. God, you give me the love to give when I don't have it on my own. See, we either want to do this thing or we don't. And you know what I've learned? Some people don't at the time that they're in. And you know what? That's okay. It's all right. They're still cooking. God still got it. They still on the cooker. You ever try to cook more than one thing? Some stuff gets done sooner than others. Not for me. It's all burned or it's all raw. One or the other. It's all going to be cooking at the same time. But look here, God is the best cook. He knows when to put Sally Sue on the back burner. Let her marinate in that. He knows when to get Sister Buckethead and put her up in the front. He knows exactly what to do. He knows where people are. He knows who to send to where. You got a lot of problems with your family, and you think, ugh. Begin to pray and say, God, I thank you that you're sending the right person to my family member. God, I'm flabbergasted and I'm irritated. But God, send them. Help them. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Look here. You know you're on your way when you can just say, God, I'm not living my life. I'm living the life that you've told me to live. God, you do it your way. God, it's your way. God, how do you want me to do this? God, what would you have me to do in this situation? Because God, I'll do it. See, it's not my life anymore, Jesus. See, I was crucified on that cross with you. Look here. It's not that he took the sins and he did all this pretty stuff with that sin. No, he became the sin. He became it. And when we really get a hold of what we are to do in life, we get a hold of this one thing. I put him on that cross. We all did. And then we realize that, you know what, the only way I'm going to ever be happy is, God, if I'll just give you everything. God, I give you everything. And we say, you know what, Jesus, it wasn't just you on that cross. Here's me too. You take this life and you do with it whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, God. What does God do then? He'll come up in there. He'll use you in a mighty way. And while he's using you, you'll look in your life and you'll think, oh my God, did you fix that problem I was so concerned about? Yes, he did. See, while you were doing what he had you to do, he's fixed this over there. Get yourself up out of despair and say, God, I'm putting myself under your word, which says I can walk in victory. How do I get that victory? By doing what you tell me to do. By ministering to who you want me to minister to. By being kind to the person, God, that you'd have me to be kind to today. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Look here. Jesus Christ died for us all to have something better than what we were going to have. And what we have to do is we have to come to a place where we're thinking, you know what? God, I want to lay down my life so somebody else can have something better. So I can be a witness for somebody else. God, it's not just about me. God, what do you want to do? We can sit and wallow in our problems all day long. Y'all got enough problems to wallow in them? Yes. I'm thankful we're all honest in here. I got enough problems. We could all wallow up in mine. You know what I got to decide every day, Aunt Sharon? Somebody needs me. I can't afford to be stupid. I can't afford to just have a pity party and wallow in it. I can't afford that. Why? Because lives are hanging up in the balance. Lives are hanging up in the balance. I know that while I go and I do the thing that God's telling me to do, I know that God is over here in my life and he's fixing the thing that's hurting me so bad. Will God fix the thing that's broken your heart? Yes, he will. Yes, he can. Yes, he will. Yes, he wants to. Will you fix the thing that's breaking his heart? The people that are going to die and go to hell. See, it's not just about us. The big picture is not what we have and what we are. It's what he has and what he is. What he has and what he is. What is he? He is the author and finisher of our faith. He did not start something in you that he doesn't plan on finishing. He knew there was a problem before you ever thought there would be that problem. He knew exactly how to handle it, too. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. See, there we see joy being completed again. See, a lot of us were like, oh me and oh my problems. Look here, get your joy complete. Your joy isn't you. Your joy is him. Your joy isn't gone because you had a problem. Your joy is gone because you made the problem bigger than him. You get that problem under control with the Word of God. And what does the Word of God says? He says, I'll perfect it. I'll fix it. I'll turn it around. What does it tell you to do? Help them. Give God your life. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. When was the last time that you really just said, God, let's get down to business. I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing without you. God, I've tried to be something without you. And God, I realize that I'm not anything without you. But God, with you, we got it going on, God. See, the devil's horrified of what you could do. He's absolutely horrified of what you could do. That's why he tries so hard to keep you bound up in despair, depression, anxiety, stress, fear, irritation, disunity, discomfort, addiction, all of those things. Why? Because he's horrified of what you're going to become. You got to believe the best about yourself. You got to see what God sees. When you're looking in the mirror, I'm going, I'm never going to get rid of that double chin. And I'm going to always have this pudge because I had two big old babies. And I this and I that. And God's going, God always tells me when I look in the mirror, Kelly, you pick out some things that you like about yourself that are good. And I always say, God, I've got some great hair. God, that pudge may still be there, but Lord, look at this hair. Look here. You got to look at your situation. You got to say, God, it may not look how I want it to look, but God, I'm still standing. Amen. Oh, my word. Amen. God, I don't like how this situation is looking, but God, you haven't left my side, not even for a moment. Amen. God, I kept my sanity when Sister Buckethead was telling me off. How did I do that? Amen. See? You can always pull some things out of a very bad situation. That's what God wants you to do. Pull them out. Because look here, the things that are left in, he's working on them. He's working on them. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. Look here. Your thing that's going on with you that's causing you so much grief, God's saying, if you'll let it go, if you'll give it to me, and if you'll take up your cross, and if you'll follow me, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to help it. I'm going to turn it around. But look here. Don't fix your eyes on the problem. Fix your eyes on me. Fix your eyes on me. At the end of the day, we serve a jealous God, and he says, I'm not going to have any other gods before me. Not the God of your problem. Not the God of your finances. Not the God of nothing. I won't have anything before me because, see, I have the ability to come up in there and change all that stuff that you're pointing out that you think is wrong. So, therefore, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And when you look at that problem, you tell it, you better get out of here. You better go. Satan, you better get out of this problem. And you go and you just let God work through you that day. Amen. Last place for me, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. So many people have tried to define what love is. Nobody defined it in its actuality besides Jesus. Nobody did. This is how we know what love is. See, we think by worrying about something, we're loving those people. No. We get in a shovel and we dig in their ditch with them. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We ought to lay down our lives for other people. What does that mean? That means lay down what you want. Lay down what you want to say. Lay down the fact that you don't like them. Lay down the fact that they get on your nerves. Lay down the fact that you don't feel like being in public that day. Lay down those things. See, because God wants to use you. God wants to love on you. God's telling somebody in here today, look here, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'm fixing the problem that's concerning you. I want you to work and help me with what's concerning me. See, do you care about what's on God's heart? Because, see, God cares about what's on your heart. God knows it. He knows what's keeping you up at night. He knows what's breaking your heart. He knows the family problems that you've got. He knows that you feel bad about your kids. He knows that you're in need of a healing. See, God knows that. He said, there's no greater love that I could display any more than I already have, because, see, Jesus Christ, he died for your sins. Now, how much do you love me? Will you lay down your life for somebody else? Now, I've preached it long and hard this morning, and I don't make any apologies about that, because the day I don't do that, Ernie, God don't need me. The day I won't just stand up here and tell it like it is, God don't need me no more. He'll find somebody else. Look here, God put me in the very center of what you'd have me to say. In the very center of it, God. Now, if you listen to this today and you've said, you know what? I've glorified the problem for far too long. I've turned when God said me to do this. If you're in here today and you say, you know what? A part of this message, this was for me. And I want to lay down some things. I want to lay down my life. I want to put myself in a position where God's going to use me, because I know that he's taking care of my problem. If you've made that connection this morning, I want you to stand, because, see, I want to pray for you. You're in a temporary issue. God wants you to get your mind off of that, because, see, we're working here for souls, Brother Mike. We're working for eternity, and the devil wants us to work for ourselves for little temporary issues that God's already working on. God's already working on them. God, in Jesus' name, y'all lift your hands up to the loving God that he is. Why? Because you're about ready to receive something. God, in Jesus' name, you see every child, God, that's standing. And God, I thank you, Lord, that they are laying it down right now. God, they're giving it to you. And God, I thank you that you're taking it right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask that they would be able to hear your voice. God, that they would reach many souls for your kingdom. And God, I thank you right now for the peace of God that's going up all up in them, Lord. That's guarding their heart. God, it's guarding their mind. Lord, I thank you that you're letting them know right now that you've got it under control. There's no need to spend one more moment on that problem. God, you've already taken their case. And God, right now I release your Holy Spirit, God, on each and every single person. I ask that you'd bless them. God, I ask that you would keep them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.